the centipede multiplies and divides and comes after you from every side. Faster and faster, roll by roll, he slides through the rocks to get you from below. Oh.
It sounds like house centipede training music, like what the house centipedes would listen to in the gym to get all pumped up and ready to go for the show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and we're going to wrap up our afternoon with a look at the house centipede. And perhaps you don't want to look at it because it looks a little weird. It's got all these legs, way too many legs, but they coexist with us, and perhaps we ought to get to know them a little bit better. And for that, we bring in our guest, Bug Hartsock, a master's student in biology at UW La Crosse, studying household arthropods, including house centipedes, silver fish, and fire brats. Bug is also a writer and artist whose work often features depictions of the arthropods that fascinate them. And Bug, welcome to the Larry Mueller Show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you because I have house centipedes in my house. They are afraid of me. I am afraid of them, but they do not scare you. Why?
Well, the mutual relationship there is definitely super common, right? And I do appreciate you mentioning that they're afraid of you, because they are. They're actually really shy animals. And at this point, I've entirely gotten over any fear of them. I've worked with them for a while. I've kept them. I've held them. And if anything, they've wanted to run away every time. So
they're not interested in you. And it's interesting because my cat is also not afraid of house centipedes. And she likes to play with them until they are no longer around. And to some degree, I feel bad about that. But it also is a lesson to house centipedes that perhaps they ought to stay in the nooks and the crannies. How do you know if you have house centipedes in your home, Bug?
I mean, there's not any, like, physical sign that you're necessarily going to notice them. They're pretty discreet. Like you said, they like the nooks and the crannies. They're nocturnally active, so they're running around when you're sleeping. So the first thing that people notice when they realize that they have house centipedes is a house centipede on the wall, generally, or scurrying across the floor, surprising them somewhere.
And if I were to describe them, I would describe them as hairy. Although, what are those legs that they use, and are they using them to move? It just looks like they're a hairy worm.
Yeah, no, I do think people think they look kind of fuzzy, especially from far away. But they are legs, yeah, and they use them if you actually, well, if you look very closely mm-hmm. at one, which is maybe a big ask, they move quite fluidly, like the legs going one after the other. It's honestly kind of pretty, but yeah, just, from far away, it looks like a scurrying furry worm running really quickly.
No, you're right, though. It is fascinating because it is coordinated. They are moving. Do they all have the same number of legs? Are they different? How many legs do you get as a house centipede?
So the younger ones have like smaller amounts of legs when they first come out of their egg, right? Mm-hmm. Like when they're very young and small. And then eventually they get up to, I think it's 15 pairs, although let me watch me be wrong about that.
This is your field of research. You need to know how many pairs of legs these house centipedes have.
I counted them so many times literally to draw them, and I'm like, wait. But I do believe it's 15 pairs of legs when they're in adulthood, though, yes.
But when you take those legs away, it really is a very small creature. They seem kind of large with the way their legs can expand, especially at adult size. But they're not that big once you take those legs away, Bug. What are they associated or related to in the among other insects?
So they're actually not insects themselves. They're arthropods, which is a big phylum of animals that they've got an exoskeleton made of chitin, a segmented body. So, you know, you can like mm-hmm. look at them in sections, and then their appendages are jointed like ours, but, you know, a little bit different structurally because of that exoskeleton bit. Other animals in this big group are insects, but also like crabs and really kind of anything that you would think of like a crunchy little critter, you know, that's generally speaking an arthropod.
So now not only are they hairy, they're crunchy too. I'm getting to know these house centipedes all too well. But you also say, Bug, that as far as roommates go, you could have worse roommates than a house centipede. Why?
No, honestly, I think they're pretty, like, ideal as far as roommates go. I mean, they're They eat everything you don't want to have. They eat cockroaches. They eat bedbugs. They eat termites. They're really, really quite skilled predators in the house. It's what they do. They only eat live prey. They're really picky about that. So some other centipede species, like some of the really big ones that people sort of are most scared of, like the huge black and orange ones, mm-hmm. will actually happily eat something that's already dead and sometimes even munch on fruit and such. But house centipedes will only eat like living prey that they can hunt. So if they're in your house, they are taking care of things that you don't want to see there. And they're nocturnal, so you're not going to run into them all the time. You're not just constantly dealing with the house centipedes across your day. And they're clean. They're not going to spread any disease or anything or damage anything in your home.
I am a little bit curious about, and I find this with cockroaches too, that they seem sentient to some degree, that they know when I'm looking at them and then they'll run away. I feel that way with house centipedes. Is it just the movement? Is it the wind? Is it the light? Or are they like, oh, there goes Lee, I better run?
I mean, I don't know how much, you know, you'd have to ask them how much they recognize you specifically, but house centipedes, especially compared to some other arthropods in the group that they belong to, they have actually really quite well-developed eyes. They're, you know, like I said, hunters. Yeah. So other centipedes don't have like the well-developed, like more complex eye structures that they have. So they're very good at looking. They're very sensitive to vibration as well. So like if you walk into a room, they're going to notice that. And they're also very sensitive to light. So if you turn on the light, that's going to surprise them and will scurry off. And cockroaches are similar with the light sensitivity.
So I talked to Phil Pelletieri earlier, and we were talking about spiders, and he said if you got spiders in your house, you might want to ask yourself what they're eating. So if I've got house centipedes in my house, you've described what they're eating. Does that mean it could be a problem when I have house centipedes that could be bedbugs or termites or cockroaches?
So, I mean, they'll eat, you know, beetles. Okay. They'll even eat spiders. So it's not necessarily like, oh, you have an infestation, right. You know. They're certainly eating something in your home. But it's a hot take, but I'm a big proponent. Like, you're going to have bugs in your home. It's
yes.
kind of up to you to choose which ones you want to, like, curate. Because you're never gonna have a perfectly sterile bug-free home environment. It's just not possible.
There's insect killing or curating with our guest Bug Hartsock today. Hey Bug, I've got house centipedes, but does that mean I've got a dirty house?
No. So there's a lot of association between like insects in the home and cleanliness, right? Mm-hmm. And any study that they do where they sample a home environment, whether it's a clean home or a home that has not been cleaned in a long, long time, you're going to have bugs. You'll have insects. You'll have other arthropods. There are ones that are very well adapted to the home. And house centipedes have no association with cleanliness whatsoever. They're just, you know, there if they have managed to find their way in.
Thank you for that. Bug Hartsock, our guest, master's student in biology at UW La Crosse, who is studying household arthropods like house centipedes, silverfish, and firebrats. I should invite you to this conversation because it is fascinating. 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Samantha in Whitehall. Samantha, you're on the air with Bug Hartsock.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Anyway, I work in a nursing home, and I'm in the housekeeping department, and we get a lot of silverfish in residents' rooms and stuff like that. Sometimes they'll come right out of the, you know, crack or someplace or, you know, whatever, casing, and they're like, they just look nasty, and I'm like, what can I do as a housekeeper to not, you know, to get rid of them, but nothing is going to harm a resident if I spray something or bring up something to my boss about using something else.
I am so glad you asked, Samantha. And Bug, what would you recommend?
So what you're doing already, which is cleaning, is probably one of the best, you know, things to do. Silverfish are not like particularly harmful, especially in the context that you're talking about it. If you're like an archivist or like a librarian, they can eat paper. But in the context of like a nursing home, they're just going to eat like dust, things on the ground, like not probably going to do much damage if you don't have a ton of them. So part of my advice would probably just be don't sweat it too much. They're not hurting anything.
It makes sense from the perspective of a house cleaner, though. It's your job to make sure it's kept clean, and you wouldn't want any silverfish coming out of the woodwork. So, but how would you prevent that?
I mean, there are some deterrents for insects that are like kind of non chemically associated. There are a bunch of different recommendations for that, and ones that, well, I guess I shouldn't say non-chemically associated, everything's a chemical,
right.
But non like harmful, like super active, like, oh, this is just going to kill everything in here, things that sort of discourage like silverfish and other insects from coming in, or just coming out of the woodwork even. So I don't have any specific product recommendations as far as those go, but you can look into sort of various like oils, or like peppermint oil is one that I know people use for cockroaches, and I think mm-hmm. it has like mixed efficacy, but I've seen it work like all right, and I think for silverfish it would probably work all right as well.
What about the fire brats? I'm not familiar with these.
So fire brats are related to silverfish. They're look very similar. Like if you saw them side by side, I'm not sure most people would be able to tell them apart, but they live in hotter areas like boiler rooms, oven rooms, like bakeries, because they only breed at a certain temperature. So hence the name fire brats instead uh-huh. of silverfish.
And is there an easy way to tell them apart other than the climate that they'll reproduce in?
I think they're pretty different looking, but I think from afar it's not the most obvious. But silverfish are sort of like have more of a sheen and more of a smoothness to them. And fire brats are kind of fuzzy with like striping along their back.
That's a fair description. Bug Hartsock, our guest, master's student in biology at UW La Crosse, studying household arthropods like the house centipedes, getting to know them a little better. The silverfish, the fire brats. What questions do you have about these arthropods that are cohabitating with us? Still time for your questions for our guest, Bug Hartsock, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email talk@wpr.org. This is the Larry Mueller Show on WPR News. You're listening to the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and our guest is Bug Hartsock. She is a graduate student, master's student in biology at UW La Crosse, studying household arthropods, and we're getting to know our house centipedes a little better, our silverfish, and even our fire brats. And I guess the test for me will be the next time I walk into the bathroom, turn on the light, and see one of those hairy arthropods on my wall, whether or not I will run or welcome them to coexist with me. What questions do you have for these house centipedes? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Bug, were you able to keep house centipedes in your lab to study them?
So I actually ended up switching from house centipedes to fire brats as my study organism, mainly because they weren't taking to the lab environment as well. Centipedes can't close off some of their like breathing tubes. I'm trying to find it, like the tracheal tubes. So they lose moisture very quickly. And for the research we were doing, we couldn't really put a lot of like things in the container with them. So they were drying out. In general, they're actually pretty easy to keep if you're able to like include, you know, substrate like soil or something for that can retain the moisture, or even just like sponges. It's just in our particular situation, we were having trouble keeping them in the lab environment specifically.
Yeah, Bug, that would seem to suggest to me that they would thrive in moisture, and that would likely mean house centipedes would find the moistest place inside the house to try to live.
Yeah, they like areas where they can find like some moisture, some humidity, like basements or bathrooms. Honestly, for how delicate they are as animals, it's kind of impressive that they've managed to be so cosmopolitan across houses. Like they're, you know, they lose moisture a lot more quickly than some other like, you know, household animals, like bed bugs, for example, the dreaded bed bug are able to survive without really access to moisture for an impressively long time.
Yeah. So how do these house centipedes continue to proliferate if they are so tender?
You know, they just, it's something that people talk about and are like, wow, that's just kind of impressive. But yeah, they're good hunters. They're, you know, they get in spots where they know they're good to go. They find areas in the houses that are beneficial to them.
Right. But when we talked earlier about box elder bugs and lady Asian beetles and cluster flies, those were all colonizing bugs that seemed to come together. Do these house centipedes organize in any way, or are they solitary creatures?
Oh, they're definitely not like social animals in the sense that like aggregations of other insects or other bugs, other arthropods might be. House centipedes, you know, they will potentially cannibalize each other even if they run into one that's smaller. one of the keepers that I was reading about when I was researching like how to keep these animals, he had kept house centipedes in it was this research study where they were looking at the mating behavior of house centipedes, and he had kept a male and female together successfully for about a month, and they were mating and doing fine, and he was writing about that. And then the male molted and was relatively soft after that. Like when insects like leave their exoskeleton to grow, they and other arthropods leave their exoskeleton to grow, they're soft and vulnerable. And then she ate him. And so the research paper was like, no, it did not last.
It was going great until his exoskeleton fell off, and then he got vulnerable and she got hungry. Oh, wow. What a story. I appreciate that, Bug. Thank you very much. We'll go now to your calls at 1-800-642-1234, where Jenny and Madison standing by. Jenny, hello.
Yeah, don't you hate it when your exoskeleton falls off?
I do.
It's the worst. I remember the first time that I ever saw a centipede. I was a little kid, maybe 7, 8, and my sister and I were staying overnight at grandma's house, and we were sharing a bed, and it was bedtime, and we're just getting settled into bed, and I look over at the wall, and there was a beast I had never seen before, and my sister had never seen before, and we're just freaking out, and of course go running and calling for grandma, and grandma goes and gets the can of Raid and drowns the poor thing. But my point is that despite that lesson of reaction and terror from the experience and from grandma, over the years, now fast forward a few decades, now I do carefully escort them out of the house. But since this conversation, you know, I'm thinking I might do the curating thing.
Yeah, just coexist.
We've got a convert.
Way to go, Bug. And Jenny, thank you for the call. And Bug, was there a time, I mean, did you decide to study these arthropods because there was a point where they scared you too? What was your relationship like with them and that led you to this?
You know, I mean, my name comes from, like, my parents have been calling me Bug since I was a little kid. I in kindergarten, I said I wanted to be an entomologist. So I've been been pretty well obsessed since a very young age. So it's hard to remember a time where I wasn't like lifting rocks or looking for things in the house or, you know, outdoors in the mud.
What's the life cycle of a house centipede like? You mentioned they've got fewer pairs of legs when they're little and, you know, they could be vulnerable as they get older. But how long do they live?
Oh, they've got actually kind of an impressive lifespan. They live like, 2 to 3 years plus even. Like, I think some keepers have seen them up to like 5 or so. And they hatch out of eggs, and they're really pretty small when they're young, and then they grow into the full, you know, inch plus beasts you see in the home.
Bug Hartsock, our guest, and we've still got time for your questions. Ellie and Eau Claire, we'll go to you next. Good afternoon.
Hi, and thank you very much for such an interesting subject. I have an earwig. Actually, I have more than one earwig because every time I see one, I pick them up and take them outside. But can you tell me a little bit about earwigs, their life cycle, what they eat, all that kind of stuff?
I am curious, too, because I feel like an earwig wasn't something I knew when I was a kid, and it was something that I started discovering as I got older. Have the earwigs always been with us? Do you know, Bug?
I can't speak to their specific range within Wisconsin. I know that earwigs are pretty common across, you know, the various places in North America. But I know a lot of things in Wisconsin have also been sort of coming up from south. We're just seeing more of variety of insects as things get kind of warmer in general. Earwigs are, you know, they're not really doing much in the home. They're mostly nocturnal. They're going to hide in, you know, various crevices, like so many insects that you see. I don't know a lot about their like interactions in the house specifically, but I do have like a fun little earwig fact that's kind of uncommon among insects is that they a lot of them display maternal care. So they're really good moms. They take care of their babies.
Wow. You would never think that from looking at an earwig. Now there is a good mom. Appreciate that. There you go. Let's go to Kathleen in Madison next. Kathleen, good afternoon. You're on the air with Bug Hartsock.
Hi. Yeah, this is a lot of fun to listen to. I actually like knowing what bugs are living in my house because it does tell me the conditions, and I also kind of like having the good ones around. But right now I have the coolest show going on outside my bedroom window every evening, which is there's some I didn't know spiders were ever not solitary, but there's these orb weavers outside the window, and they're right next to a light that shines down on the garage or on the parking lot. So they're getting all the bugs they want, and there's dozens of spiders that are the kind of reddish orange, and they take their webs down every day and put new ones up at night. And so I get to watch these like really, really big ones and all these little smaller ones all just moving around this web and building their own little circles and stuff. And it's so entertaining to watch them.
It makes you hope that hopefully winter can hold off for a little while so these spiders can give you a little more of a show for a little bit longer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathleen. And Bug, you've got any good shows going on with spiders, arthropods, and bugs in your house?
Gosh, I love orb weavers. I had one that I watched from my parents' windows as a kid. They don't, like, orb weavers specifically aren't, you know, tend to be social. Every once in a while, some species will have, like, a male that kind of hangs around for a little bit on a female's web. But in those lighted areas, it's like, oh, that's a great spot to get insects. I always feel so impressed with them. I'm like, oh, that was a very good call setting up your web right there. The spiders are it's really quite impressive to watch them work. When you sit down and like, you know, take a second to not be so spooked by them, it's sort of a gorgeous display watching them weave like a complex web.
Yeah, it's beautiful. If you take the time to watch it and get over that fear, I understand that completely. Frank and Madison, we'll go to you next. You're on the air with Bug Hartsock.
Oh, hi. I have a question about another pest control. Two pest control agents I have in my house with two cats.
Mm-hmm.
And I never kill spiders because they will always take care of them, or the spiders find their own way out. The question is there a conflict? What happens, cats will also want to eat other things. They apparently do not do well with earwigs.
Mm-hmm.
They think they taste terrible. But is there any problem with cats eating centipedes?
Great question. And I mean, centipedes do have venom glands, right? They can sting, can't they, Bug?
Yeah, they can. They have these parts, modified appendages at the front that are capable of stinging. You know, technically it looks like a bite, so people often call them bites, but mm-hmm. very technically it's a sting. And they can, house centipedes can do it. They're not medically significant, and I have never been stung, and I've picked them up a bunch. I think your cats are probably similarly fine, and even if they were to be stung, it would not be like, I mean, it would be, you know, like a bee sting, a lesson learned, but nothing.
Now, on the other hand, my cat got a hold of a brown marmorated stink bug last year, and boy, you would have thought she'd been poisoned. She was foaming at the mouth. That's a mistake you only make once. What are you still curious about, Bug? What do you still want to know about these arthropods that we live among?
Oh, there's so much. I mean, you know, so much research into them is looking at how to remove them completely from the home, which, you know, then you run into issues like your previous guest was talking about, like bed bugs having resistance to pesticide. You know, there was a period where bed bugs were not as common as they are now, but now they have basically every population you sample is pesticide resistant, right? So I'm fascinated by the kind of interactions of that environment, the home ecosystem, if you will, and what might be happening like between them when we're not just like sort of bombing the whole space.
They kill it all, you know.
Yeah. And then my research specifically is looking into like sleep-like behavior in arthropods. Our lab does a lot of work with sleep specifically.
So house centipedes also sleep?
Maybe.
We'll have to find out more with your research. And Bug, I want to thank you so much for sharing it with us today, helping me overcome my fear of house centipedes and understand their life a little bit better. I really appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been super fun.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry we didn't get to all the calls, and I apologize about leaving all the emails on the floor. I didn't mean to do it that way, but it was just needed a three-hour show. Bug Hartsock, master student biology at UW-La Crosse, studying household arthropods like our house centipedes. Thank them very much for joining us. And I thank you for being a part of the show today, as well as the team that made it all possible. Clara Neipert and Joel Patenaude, our producers, technical director Jeff Robbins, and our executive director who makes it all possible, Jill Nadeau. Thank you to all. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show on WPR News.